Well, today we continue our study through the 8th chapter of Romans. And today we're just taking two little verses, so it's kind of a bite-sized little piece, and it's essentially one fairly simple thought and something quite straightforward for us to grab hold of and to take with us as we go into this next week together. This series is called Running on Empty. And the point is, we live lives that are oftentimes so rushed, so hurried, so fast-paced, that we go from one thing to another and just say to ourselves, we just need a break. We just need to put up our feet and recharge and try to rejuvenate who we are. And then as we look at the scriptures and as we look at this chapter, God says, do not seek fulfillment from the things of this world. Look not to fill your spiritual fuel tanks from a great vacation or just a night of watching television or any of those things. Drink from the living well, Jesus Christ, which ultimately satisfies. And once we seek fulfillment from Him, we will never go thirsty again. Furthermore, as we live our lives as believers, the Holy Spirit is the vehicle through which Jesus desires to give us fulfillment. And this whole chapter in Romans 8 is all about being filled with the Spirit. So we're kind of looking at how do we combat running on empty with the Holy Spirit from a lot of different angles over these, you know, this six-week series that we're a part of. So today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to investigate the Spirit's power in prayer. And so I want us to begin by thinking a little bit about prayer. I have a story from my past that I'd like to begin with. I remember very distinctly, I've shared stories about my roommate Wes in college. And Wes was quite an eccentric, rugby-playing, very strong, bobsled-racing Calgary boy. And he could, you know, wrestle me into the ground and have me in a pretzel in about 3 seconds. And so we had an interesting relationship as roommates. And this was our freshman year up at Trinity, and he came on a rugby scholarship, and he played, and he played passionately, and he played very well. He was good at it. Well, there was one particular Saturday when Wes was in a big game, and I went to a few of his games, but I wasn't at this particular one. And I was driving home from college. I can distinctly remember coming up on 264th Street. I was coming up towards the 16th Avenue stoplight there. And as I was coming, all of a sudden, within my heart, I had this overwhelming impression that something's wrong. You gotta pray for Wes. And I couldn't explain it, and I didn't totally know what was happening, but I just said, okay, I trust what I'm feeling here. Lord, whatever's going on, I just ask you to be with Wes. And I pray that you would hold him close right now, that you would minister to him if something's not right. And then the weekend kind of went on, and honestly, I kind of forgot about that moment for the next day or two. And then Sunday late night, I went back up to school and came into my room, and Wes wasn't around, and kind of went about my stuff getting ready for school the next day. And all of a sudden, a classmate from down the hall came in. He said, did you hear about Wes? I was like, no, what happened? He said, well, Wes had a horrible concussion at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning during his rugby game. And I got to thinking, 10 a.m., that was exactly right when I was driving home. And when that happened, God put a burden within my heart. You got to pray for your friend. Oftentimes within our lives, to varying degrees, we engage in prayer for one another. We recognize that we have friends facing trials. We recognize that we have family members facing difficult situations and circumstances. And so we get on our knees for them, whether we know what to pray or we don't know what to pray. And what I want to share with you this morning is a message of comfort. It's a message that to us speaks to these times of crisis, these times of needs, and it's the recognition that when we pray, when we come before the Lord on our knees for each other in different situations that we face, it's not that our prayer is the starting gun for God to then begin working in a situation or a scenario. The reality is when we bend our knees in prayer, when we come before God, God's already been at work. God's already been moving and working, and we're partnering with God in something that has already been taking place to answer that prayer. Will you turn with me to the 8th chapter of Romans, and we're just going to read together verses 26 and 27. So I'll give you just a second to find that. And I'm actually going to read from the New Living, so it's going to sound just a little bit different to you, but you'll be able to follow along, I trust. And it says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows our hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose for them. We're going to stop right there and just think together about the Holy Spirit as our prayer partner. Thinking together that in times of crisis, when we know not what to pray, there's a Holy Spirit who prays for us. And even before that, it says in verse 26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And so recognize with me as we begin that the Holy Spirit is our help through life's trials and temptations. When you and I live our lives day in and day out, God has said to your heart and to mine, I'm not going to leave you alone. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, you know what his commission was? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And so he gave us all as believers the Holy Spirit, this source of comfort, this source of strength within our hearts and within our lives that isn't just to be this silent partner to exist within us, but the Holy Spirit within you each and every week has an active role and a role to help. A role, help in the original language, means partner with. Work alongside of. And so imagine with me if you had a field you need plowed and you took these two big strong oxes and you hitched them together and they worked with the plow to work up your ground. That's the same word here for help, that the Holy Spirit promises to help us in our lives. And so as we consider that type of help, it's not the type of help where we have to do everything in and of our own strength. It's not where we're the only one pulling life's plow, but we have the Holy Spirit. We have a partner. We have someone who's alongside of us as a helpmate coming alongside doing its part. Now, sometimes in the Christian life, we think to ourselves, well, you know, not I, but Christ, and I'm just going to sit back, put up my feet, and let God do what God's going to do. When we consider the reality that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us in life, the truth is this: not only is the Spirit to be the one to work, but we need to do our part too. Help is a two-way road. We still have the disciplines that God has called us to. We still have the things within our life that we need to do to grow as believers. But the Spirit is there to help and work alongside of us. So it's not all of our work, nor is it all of the Spirit's work. It's the two working in tandem. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Now, as I stand before you this morning, I stand before a congregation full of people who are imperfect. I stand before a group who we all have struggles. We all have temptations that we face in the sinful nature each and every day. And we're all prone to some temptations more than we are to others. That's just kind of how God has wired us. But I also stand before a congregation whose lives are filled with trials. And maybe you have been praying before the throne of God every single day for the health of a family member or someone who's been battling cancer. Or maybe you've been praying for a daughter or for a grandpa or someone within your life and you recognize this as something that you face that is oh so difficult. Friends, if that is your story this day, if you have been walking a difficult road, the comfort of this passage speaks truth to our lives that we do not walk through that struggle alone. Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Though we face pain, though we face temptation, though we face trial, we have someone alongside of us who is our help. For we as believers are never alone. Another story from college. I was in my sophomore year this time, and a good friend of mine, Grant Vanderhook was his name, and he was the son of a cranberry farmer up in Abbotsford. And Grant was kind of into fitness, and I was kind of into enjoying cafeteria food during this season of my life. And so, well, let's just say I wasn't really into fitness. And so what ended up happening was we finished a Friday morning praise chapel. And so from 11 to 11:30 every Friday at Trinity Western, it's just all worship music. And it's just kind of a cornerstone to that school in a lot of ways. And so finished praise chapel. And the great thing about my Friday schedule that year, I had no classes to follow. So Friday afternoons wasn't typically a time you wanted to go to the library and do schoolwork. So it was just kind of a free-for-all, go do what you want to do. Sometimes I'd head home. Other times we'd go do something fun with friends. And Grant comes to me all excited. He's like, "Hey, Ryan, I got a plan. I'm looking for somebody to come with me." I'm like, "Okay, what are you doing?" He's like, "I'm going to do the grouse grind." And I'm like, "Grouse grind? What is this?" And he starts to explain, "Oh, it's just a little hike up by Grouse Mountain." And he's like, "It's a little bit steep in a few spots, but you'll be fine." So I'm like, "I don't have anything going on." No problem. So I hop in Grant's little pickup, this little Mazda gray truck, and we start driving down Highway 1 heading towards Grass Mountain. And on the way, he says, "Oh, by the way, yeah, it's like 2,600 feet in elevation change." I'm like, "Okay." I'm thinking this is going to take us a while. He's like, "Yeah, and it's only just over a mile and a half long. So it's just this straight up climb where you are just going and you kind of climb like this." And we get to the trailhead, and I'm a happy cafeteria college boy, and Grant's looking pretty good, and we get there, and there are all these people with just this top-notch all workout clothing, and they've got these fancy shoes and all this, and water packs on every part of their body, and they're getting ready to go. They're going to start their watches to go, and I take one look at Grant, and I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me." I'm like, "Are you taking here for my last day of life?" He's like, "We'll be fine, don't worry." And so we get started, and we start walking up this mountain, and it's pretty much switchbacks for a lot of it, and we're getting passed by all these women in their 50s who are very committed to fitness, and we keep doing it. And at the beginning, we're talking to each other saying, "Oh, this is quite a bit, huh?" He's like, "Yeah, it is." And we kept going, and as the hike continued, there soon became a point where there was no way I had the ability to speak any words to Grant. And furthermore, there was a point where Grant also reached where he could no longer speak any words to me. All we could do was kind of, I get tired just telling the story. All we could do was just kind of look at each other and just this look like, "We got to keep going." And so we would, and we would keep taking one step after the other. And I'll never forget, it took us a while to do, but once we got to the top and we came up and we kind of came, and if you've ever done it, that kind of opens up at the top there and you can look out over and recognize what it is that you actually just spent the last while climbing. And we just kind of laid down and collapsed. And I've never again done the grouse grind to this day. Maybe some of you should try it, but it's quite exciting. But anyways, once we got to the top and once we realized we had done it, there was one thing we kind of said to each other. He said, "You know what, Ryan? The reason I wanted you to come with me was because there was no way in the world I would have done this if I was all by myself." He said, "There's no possible way that if I was just, you know, lone Grant walking this," he said, "I would have quit halfway and just worked my way back down." He said, "But I knew if someone was with me, I would finish this hike." And I kind of thought to myself, yeah, if Grant wasn't with me, first off, I never would have been here. But if I would have, I probably would have stopped halfway as well. And I would have recognized that it just ain't worth climbing this mountain. But because he was with me, I could. In our lives, we stand at the foot of a whole lot of mountains, don't we? We stand before a lot of trials, a lot of struggles, a lot of temptations. We must recognize together that as we climb life's mountains, as we stand at the face of different circumstances, we don't stand there alone. And that to me is like the greatest joy of being a believer, that everything I face, the Holy Spirit is right there alongside of me. And every situation that I encounter, it's not just Ryan, but I have someone who the Scriptures promise is partnered with me. And it's just not some random person. Grant chose to partner with an unfit college student to climb this mountain. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, have this opportunity to be partnered with the Creator of the universe who knows everything about us. And because of that, friends, we must recognize the help that is available to us. The Spirit promises to be our help in times of difficulty. But more than that, the Spirit isn't just this silent partner, this person within our lives who just exists. The Spirit has an active role. And as our passage says in the next verse, the Holy Spirit continually intercedes on our behalf. And so the picture we have from this verse and the tense of this verb for intercede is that the Spirit is continuing to do it each and every day for you and for me. And the Holy Spirit is coming before the throne of God, actively praying for you and for me. And it's wonderful for me to think that when I got a text message on early Friday morning from Daniel telling me about what was happening with Jesse Engelsma, that while prayer was just starting here in our community, the Holy Spirit had been praying from the moment that it started. And it's amazing for me to think that before we are quick to get on our knees and come before God in prayer, that the Spirit has already been at work, and the Holy Spirit has been coming before God, praying and actively begging with God, oh Lord, please work within this situation, within this scenario. But furthermore, the passage says, sometimes we just don't know what to pray. And isn't that the truth? We face situations. We face things in our lives and we kind of get on our knees or we come to a place where we're ready to pray and it's like there's not even words. I was with a friend this past week and we were talking about prayer and he said, sometimes I just don't know what to say. And I said, I've been there. I've been in that exact same situation. And when we face that situation, friends, we must recognize that while at times we know not what to say, the Spirit knows exactly what to say. And while we're at a place where we say there's not even words to express what it feels like to have a grandma suddenly taken from our lives, there's a Holy Spirit who's expressing words to the Father that only the Father can understand. We have had here on the steps of our church, Pastor Yang. And Pastor Yang from Vietnam knows very little English. And he's this cute little man with these glasses, but just has a heart for the Lord. And his son, An, just sent me a message this morning, and it was good to hear from him. But Yang, whenever we were in Vietnam, he would always bring us all these gifts and was so friendly in who he was. And we would kind of try to communicate with each other. And he would say, ah, Pastor Ryan, and yeah. And he would just kind of nod and smile, and I would do the same. But that's kind of all the further it went. And there'd be times when he would want to communicate something to us. And you could see him trying so hard. What do I say? How do I do this? And he would try to say something, but we were just like, I don't understand. And then another brother like Yong would come up, who's going to come and work with us here at First Reformed Church, who knows both languages so well. And Yong would step in and he would say to Yang in Vietnamese, you know, what are you trying to communicate to these brothers? And then he would say it to them. And then Yong would share with us what it was that he was trying to share. Yong could say to us in English what Yang didn't have the ability to say. In the same way, when we pray, the Holy Spirit has the ability to pray to our Heavenly Father, the words in some heavenly language that we're not familiar with, the words that we don't have the ability or wisdom to be able to communicate to our Heavenly Father. And so praise be to God that the one who we pray to doesn't just exist in some far off throne in the sky, but he dwells within our hearts. And because of that, he's in continual, constant communication with the creator of the universe for you and me each and every day. And finally, the goal of the Holy Spirit's prayer, and this is the point of all these prayers that continually are offered for you and for me by the Holy Spirit, the goal is to align us with God's will. What does the passage say? It says the Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with God's will. So every prayer that's prayed by the Holy Spirit for you and for me and for all of us each and every day as the Spirit continually prays, as we've recognized from this passage, isn't just some random prayer that God hopes we would, have a good day and make it through the day. Every prayer the Spirit prays has a goal and has a plan. And that goal and plan is set before us here. That plan is to have your life and my life and all of our lives in complete alignment with God's perfect plan. So it's almost as if before we even awake, the Holy Spirit within our hearts is on its knees begging before the throne of God, oh Lord, I pray that your servant, fill in your name, would not fall into the temptation that he did yesterday today. And I pray this day when they face this struggle that they don't even know is going to come, that they would not turn to anger or bitterness or envy or resentment, that they would turn their hearts in prayer to you even as I am now. And the Holy Spirit prays, friends, praying that your life and my life would align themselves with God's will. And so the question I want to ask you is this. As the Spirit prays for you, as you feel the Holy Spirit pulling you like a magnet, drawing you towards the center of God's will, are you each and every day living your life as an answered prayer of the Holy Spirit? I just wonder this day, as you live your lives, are you letting the Spirit's prayers align you with God's will, or are you still resisting that? Are you feeling the tug of God saying, center yourself on the principles of the Scripture? Align your life with God's plan for all of who you are. Or are you still saying, I'm just not sure I want that? Because the Holy Spirit, as He prays for us all, each and every day, wants nothing more than for our lives, friends, to be absolutely centered in God. Saturated in His plan, consumed in His promises and purposes. And so I, as a pastor, stand before you this day, just pleading with you, may our lives be lived as answers to the Spirit's prayers. May we recognize when temptation comes, when struggles come, when trials face us right between the eyes, may we say, I wonder what the Spirit is praying that I would do in this situation. I wonder what God's heart for me as I encountered this phone call would be. And that we would then live accordingly, recognizing that the Spirit has been begging the Father, oh, may they not fall into the same temptation they've been falling into for days and weeks and months and years and maybe for an entire lifetime. Maybe the Spirit's been praying the same prayer for you for the last 40 years and you've still not been willing to answer that Spirit's prayer. Friends, my heart to you is that our lives would be lived as answered prayers of the Spirit. That we would let this process of sanctification, this process of continually becoming more like Jesus take place within our lives. That we would not resist the workings of the Spirit, but instead we would welcome it. That we would recognize as a church body that we do not face anything alone. We have no mountain to climb where there's no one alongside of us. And in fact, it's not just where we don't have anyone alongside of us. We have someone alongside of us who's an active player, a partner, sharing the load, praying for us when we don't pray. And those prayers are prayers to align us, to center us, and position our lives in the center of the will of the Heavenly Father. And so this week, recognize with me, and whatever you might face this afternoon, tomorrow, next Tuesday, or whenever, that the Spirit's already been praying for that. That God doesn't start working when we ask Him to. God's already been at work, and the Spirit's been already praying. But instead, we're to partner with the Spirit's prayer. We're to align ourselves and become obedient to what God has been asking us to do all along. And so may your lives this week be answers to the Spirit's prayers. May your lives this week be found centered and anchored in the Spirit's will and God's perfect will for all of our lives. Pray with me. Lord, I ask that within our hearts and within our lives that there would be this continual process of refinement. That there would be this growth and this journey towards seeing You shape us into who You would have us be. And God, I just want to give You thanks and praise that as You go about this work and as You've been refining us, Lord, it's not just our part to play. Lord, we're not climbing the mountain of life alone, but Holy Spirit, You are inside of us and You dwell with us and You promise to be right there, not just, you know, in presence, but in the purpose of praying for us. And God, there's a whole lot of times in our lives when it just doesn't seem like we have the words to pray. And I just thank You that in those times, the Spirit has already been at work, that the Spirit has been praying, that the Spirit has been working. And Lord, that we serve a God who is in control of every single situation in life. And so, Father, I just want to thank You this day for who You are. I thank You for Your presence. Lord, I believe that our lives are quick to run on empty when we neglect to see You at work within us. And so, Lord, I ask this morning for a renewed recognition of the power of your Spirit within our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would see what it is that you've been praying for. I pray that we would recognize that your prayers in our areas of struggle or of weakness or of trial or the different things, Lord. And I just pray that we would respond in accordance to how you would desire for us to. Lord, that our lives would be lived in the center of your will. And in doing so, Father, it will bring great pleasure to the Spirit within us. Now, Lord, as the offering is